Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to this installment of Stat Boys Sports Bar. He is your host with the most. He is the man of the hour, the man with the power, too sweet to be sour, if you will. He is Stat Boy. I am, of course, Chef Meacham. Yes, I'm in Disney attire. All will be revealed later. For right now, Stat Boy, off we go, sir.
Welcome to the Sports Bar for this third week of the NFL season, September 29th, 2020. We got lots of news to talk about, plenty of things to talk about. Remember to put your comments up in the chat, and good old JM will put them up for me, and I'll answer them in a semi-nice fashion.
Possibly.
Of course, if you want to come into the show, ask for the link. If you want to chat for a little bit, that's fine too. But make
well,
sure
it's
we're
funny
talking
you say
about
that,
right
Uncle
subjects.
Goofy. Because there actually is somebody in the green room waiting to come on in, as a matter of fact.
Okay, well, let's get this going. Who's first to come into the sports bar? Who are you going to shock
well,
me with this
sure,
time?
Let me just make sure his camera's turned on first before I bring him in, because it'll be kind of silly to have him come on without his camera rolling. That would be rather silly.
I think I have a feeling I might know who it is. Ah, it's the Renegade.
Fresh off the Disney tapings.
Holy shit, he's wearing a Stat Boy shirt. The son of a bitch bought a Stat Boy shirt. What the fuck?
He was the first purchase of the Stat Boy shirt. The big reveal is at hand.
I'll be damned. I will be damned to the ninth level of hell right now. Oh my God. I definitely have to put in an order for a Dad's On Wrestling shirt, don't I?
Yeah, a little bit. Buy the shirt.
Wow. Buy a shirt. Looking good, bro. Looking good.
Buy our merch.
Buy all the
there
merch
you go. Buy all the merch you possibly can. There you go. How about that?
We'll be at the autograph tables during intermission.
Hey, I can easily go to my local FedEx Kinko's and go out and make up pictures and send them out to fans. Not a problem. $5 a pop. I can do it. That's not a bad idea. Let's work on that one.
Nobody wants your mug hanging up on their wall, bro.
Maybe the post office.
Oh, and they want yours? Wow. So what's going on, bro? How's things going? What's new?
You know, another day in paradise.
Mm-hmm. Unless you work for Disney.
Get to your stats, bro. I'm an innocent bystander here in the sports bar. I got my drink the bartender set me up with. I'll chime in, you know, where something comes up that I have to give a damn about. But, you know, I'm here to see you do your thing.
Live, I love this.
Right
I
here
love
in
this.
The Jeff Meacham Network.
This is great. This is great. I love this. All right, then, folks. Let's get started. Yeah, cheap plugs abound. All right. So let's get straight to it. We're starting off with some baseball. The playoffs have started. Two games are already in the books. Ironically, with the same score, Houston beat Minnesota, Chicago beat Oakland by the score of 4-1. Each game is finished with that. It's a best of three series. Houston and Minnesota, they were pretty much locked in a 1-0 game. And until the top of the ninth inning, where Minnesota basically had one of those plays reminiscent of the old, the ball gets by you. Down goes Buckner, you know, that kind of play. It's a routine play. Second baseman drops the ball. The inning continues. Houston scores three. Minnesota can't come back. They're up one zip. With Chicago and Oakland, there was a possible no-hitter going on, but unfortunately, the unwritten rule that when you say the words perfect game, when you say the words no-hitter, what happens? It gets ruined. It gets jinxed. And lo and behold, that's what happened. But the White Sox beat Oakland, and so far in my little prediction matchup, I'm bombing big time. So Minnesota has to win the next two, and Oakland has to win the next two to move on to the next round. Also, the majority of the MLB experts are, of course, going with the Dodgers to win. Why not? We've said that all season. When you win 70% of your games, you have to go all the way and win the World Series. They are a 7-2 favorite, so... If you did put some money on the Dodgers back in the beginning, you'll get a pretty good payout. For every $2, you win $7. The big payout goes to the Blue Jays, at 38-1. So $100, that's 3,800 if you get all that. So I don't see Toronto getting past the Rays, though. I think they just started their series about an hour ago. Don't have a current score right now. I should, but I'm sorry on that. And, of course, in Angels news, the axe has fallen. I briefly talked about this yesterday. Billy Epler is out as Angels GM. He was only going to be there. He had a five-year contract, and they decided, nah, we're going to let him go at the end of his fourth year. He was the one who brought in Shohei Ohtani, Justin Upton, Anthony Rendon, and Andre Simmons, also known as Simba. He goes by the nickname Simba. And a lot of news about that. In this house, I don't call Shohei Ohtani by his full name. I go by the Japanese name. I call him Ohtani-san, out of respect. And Victor and whenever they're up there, whenever, you know, big fly, Ohtani-san. So there you go. He, of course, Ohtani didn't do very well in the pitching category this season. So they just kept him on as the DH. Justin Upton, of course, I believe 3 weeks ago, he got knocked in the head and knocked in the hand, and he got knocked around all over the place. Anthony Rendon had the hot bat towards the middle of the season and the end of the season. And the big news with Simmons was that 5 days before the season ended, he decided, I don't want to play anymore. They gave the players the option to opt out because of COVID, and 5 days left with the chance to even come into the playoffs, he's like, nope, I'm just going to not play. And, of course, so, social media.
For the record, the GM brought in people that, except for Simba, haven't done fuck all. And, yeah, we wonder why he had his job for as long as he did. I mean, Upton not the biggest disappointment in the history of the Angels? I mean, he has potential for days. He couldn't hit a barn with a freaking caveman's club.
I will agree to that. In the beginning of the series, in the beginning of the season, when I was actually keeping track of things, it's like ground out, fly out, strike out, pop out, double play. Heading to the grocery store. Looking forward to this for the road. Thank you, Cleaver. Simmons was just like, or Upton was just, oh, great, here comes an easy out.
Yep.
Then he did start to peak a little bit. He did get some hits in it was just not all there. And then, of course, he gets hit on the hand twice in one game, and then he took one to the head, which was really scary. And I'm thinking, hasn't this guy gone through enough to get hit in the head? You know, and he went down for a good 3 minutes in that one game.
I was hoping the knock of the head would knock some sense into him. He has been nothing but a disappointment his entire run with the Angels.
Surprised he didn't come out of it thinking he was Peter Pan.
Peter Pan.
That's the life touch is ours, Simba. What's that dark place? That's the Angels' championship dreams. We will never go there.
That's right.
We can't go there.
That's the hottest center. You must never go there.
And Mikey, wait.
How about that Corey Perry last night? How about that Corey Perry, huh? Woohoo!
So I guess now we're segueing into hockey.
Yep.
Congratulations to the Tampa Bay Lightning winning the 2020 Stanley Cup Finals in six games. Do we have the picture of the team?
Oh, I forgot about that. Stand by.
You forgot the picture of the team? Oh, how could
this makes me a bad person, and that's fine. I don't care. I don't care so much that Tampa won. I care that Corey Perry didn't.
It's no secret that Jeff Meacham, he hates Corey Perry. And towards the end of his career, even I didn't start liking him. I mean, because it's like he couldn't produce a goal. He'd be standing right there in front of the goalie, which was his job. He would get all upset at the wrong time. I wouldn't be surprised if he had a record in penalty minutes, because every time I turned, Corey would be in the box. You know, he can't fight worth a damn. At least I don't think he can. I've never studied. So
no, Perry's biggest problem is he thinks he's Wayne Gretzky with the lack of fighting, but he has about a tenth of the skill.
There it is. That's all you need to say about hockey, especially with that. So, what's going to happen in the postseason now?
Picture, wait.
Yes, well, guess put the picture up. We need to see that.
I'm
we
trying.
Need
I'm
to
trying.
See the champs.
Fucker's
he's
wagon.
He's trying. He's trying. I thought you had the world famous.
You disappoint me, my Padawan. I even sent you a couple of really good anti-Perry picks.
Oh, trust me. What do you think I'm saving right now?
Okay.
I got a few of these.
Don't get ahead of me, Uncle Jay. Well,
in the meantime,
while we're on the topic of the Lightning, I want to send a special congratulations to my pop, of course, out in Florida, who was cheering for the Bolts, and also one of my good friends in the pin world, Yoli. She's a transplant out here to sunny Southern California from Florida, big Tampa Bay Lightning fan. So congratulations go to them for their team taking the cup for their second time in history.
And you know what? It's funny. My dad and I were cocksure that Stamkos had raised the cup, and he didn't. So good on him. He got a cup. That's awesome.
And there it is. There's your champions.
I like Stamkos. I do. So I'm happy for Steven. I'm not going to lie. But I would be lying if I said my motivation for cheering on Tampa was strictly for the love of the Lightning. It's the fact that Pavelski and Perry did not get a cup.
Why don't you like Pavelski?
I think Pavelski is just a NorCal teal wearing piece of garbage who got moved to Dallas, and I can't stand Corey Perry. If there was one person I could wipe from existence in the NHL, it'd be Corey Perry, by and large.
Well, you'll have to construct the Infinity Gauntlet for that. Oh, there you go. Some things never get old, like watching Corey Perry lose. There's a good one. That's a good one. Tebowing, Lundvisting, Perrying. I miss the Tebowing, actually. I actually do miss the Tebowing.
Yeah, that makes one of us. Anyway.
So there you go.
So all right. Congrats to them. Okay.
And don't worry, hockey
I promise.
Fans. Hockey will be back soon.
Yeah, I promise. Now that the cup has been awarded, I'm done picking on Corey Perry for at least 3 months.
Well, that's when the season starts up again. It's going to be a quick off season, and then we're right back on the ice again. So, you know,
at least one of your former Ducks did raise the cup last night, Patrick Maroon.
Which I don't mind Maroon so much. He's all right. Okay.
So, let me ask you, Jeff. What do the Kings need to do to get back into playoff contention?
The Kings need to get a hell of a number two draft pick for one thing, and they need to do what they've done, and they need to restructure the front office, which they're working on, and they need to they honestly need to realize that the guys that won the cup in 2012 and 2014 are not the guys they were 8 and 6 years ago. And it's funny, but Dad and I were screening at the TV at various points last night during the game, the Stanley Cup final. You know, Doc, who I swear is at one point is going to shit himself on the air with all the fire! He's going to poop his pants one of these days. At one point, they were talking about getting the puck through. I'm like, shit, Doc, where you been? We've been telling Daddy to get a puck through for 10 years. Like, Drew can't get a puck through if there was a piece of Swiss cheese between him and the net. Like, he's terrible. And God, fucking. Even Kopitar, who, you know, we as Kings fans have been trained to, you know, put him on the Gretzky pedestal. He's not the same Kopitar he was, you know, 5 years ago. So he's not that guy anymore. The core needs to be realigned. And I'm not saying get rid of everybody, because if you get rid of Kopitar and Brown and Dowdy and Quick, then you're going to have a fan base shit in their pants and the rest of the roster going. So, you know, I mean, shake it up. Make those four guys earn the fact that they are those four guys.
Definitely.
There is zero reason, and I'm sorry if this pisses off you Kings fans that are a part of my network and been a part of me for a year, so be it. There is zero reason that it should be a given that Jonathan Quick is starting opening night.
Apparently, Renegade agrees. Go ahead,
with
Renegade.
With all due respect to John,
my brother, testify.
We have all in this room met Jonathan many times over the years. I love me some Jonathan Quick. Okay,
I haven't met Quick.
Well, then you're a Ducks fan, so it doesn't count. It's okay. So whatever. The point is,
I met Bob Miller.
What's that?
I met Bob Miller.
Well, Bob Miller knows who I am, so there you go.
Well, there you go.
If we're going to show balls, let's just show balls. Fuck it, whatever. Okay. Jesus. I may have been drinking between takes. Anyway.
Have you? Okay. Hey, perfect. Hey, you come into the bar already shit-faced. I love it.
Whatever. Jonathan Quick is one of the nicest people I've met in franchise history. It doesn't make him the number one goalie right now. Cal Peterson is the guy I would put between the pipes on day one. I would. And I would make Jonathan Quick go, show me why that's wrong. Number one. Number two, I agree with the Captain C being on Kopitar still and Brown not being a captain. Mm-mm. But hang on. Both of them need to earn their keep, in my opinion. Doughty, you know, if they can get a deal for him, cut him loose. Honestly.
Oh, come on. You got to keep Drew.
Nope.
He's Drew.
So was Luke, and we let him get away. Was it a mistake? At the time, it was. But he came back to us. Drew Doughty has been my favorite player from draft day, 2008. I'm not going to be quiet about that. But Drew Doughty is not the Norris Trophy winner he was years ago. He's not that guy anymore. And he's never been the best offensive defenseman. So if they are keeping him around based on old potential, then they are doing exactly what they demonized Dave Taylor for 15 years ago.
Okay.
So, but his absolute, if any of those four needs to go, I'd say Daddy's at the top of that list, and Quick is like up his ass, like almost nose and ass.
I'm expecting the meme.
I understand that Jonathan Quick was a key component in getting us to the promised land. I will not take it away from Jonathan Quick, and his rally speech was the greatest thing of all time, okay? Just because he got censored on Fox Sports Net. So there you go. Bob. But
there you go.
That was 8 years ago.
All right.
We were there.
That's right. We were there. That's it. We were there, and my dad even wasn't. That's how iconic that is for you and I, because my dad wasn't even at that one. So there you go.
I echo Jeff's statements. It's like, I know it'll get some shit from Keens fans, but like the people that are your first line, your second line, need to seriously get bumped down to like third or fourth line. Show to me why you deserve to be that number one line. And the same with Quickie. You know, I have made no secret about my feelings of Quick for 6 years. He's a great goaltender, but we have let way too many goaltenders get away that were our future while favoring him. And it's just ridiculous at this point.
Yep.
Quickie does not need to be number one no more. Yep. That's first and foremost. Right. Even if we keep Brownie, Kopi, Doughty, Quickie needs to be number two. He needs to be on the Pine Pony.
Yeah.
He needs to play game two of the back-to-back nights.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Now,
and then
go ahead, Jeff.
And the one point I will argue you on, Jeff, in the words of Willy Wonka, I'm going to say strike that, reverse it. Quick needs to be the first to go. Doughty up his ass.
Okay. I'll concede that.
Doughty, I feel, is one of the few guys that when he's on the heart, even on the ice, even though he may not perform to his best of his abilities a lot of the time, he is the heartbeat of those guys when they are on the ice.
Okay. I mean, there's no deciding
the heart. You rip out the heart, the entire team's going to fall.
Well, but, you know, if you get the right person to rip the heart out, you can control the heart and make him do what you want to do. But that's not what, that's almost upon a time only. So, you know, it's, you know, you can't, you know. Honestly.
Wow, another Disney reference. Well, there you go.
Dude, we've been talking Disney for an hour. I'm all in Disney mode right now. I'm still wearing my shit. So let me just say this. Every fan out there and everybody in the front office there in El Segundo that talks about, you know, oh, well, you know, we're trying to keep things intact. There was a guy who has a place in my family's heart that wore number 18 for about 485 years, that was the GM at the time, and kept trading away the future for established players. No disrespect to Rob Blake, because I love me some Blakey, but you're doing the same shit. You're keeping people intact for the sake of keeping people intact. There's no reason. There is so much depth in Ontario and below them. Like, seriously, you live, you know, you can practically walk to the goddamn arena anymore, Jay. Yeah. Like, you've seen these kids in action. There is so much untapped NHL-level potential 30 minutes away from Staples Center.
Yeah.
And they're not pulling the friggin' trigger because they want to have the core guys. And it's like, man, you know, everybody's, oh, yo, we got the cup in 2021. Bullshit! The Ontario Reign has the Calder Cup in 2021, maybe.
They're already talking about that, and it hasn't even started yet. Great.
It's ridiculous that, you know, we as fans are so, you know, and again, this is me 37, 38 years in, okay? I say 38 because I was going in the womb, so that I count that first year.
Yeah.
The number two draft pick is part of the puzzle. That puzzle, okay, as it stands now, is not going to bring us the trophy. It's not. If we build on that number two draft pick and bring the kids up from Ontario, and listen to me, kids, like I'm some old guy. Jesus Christ. I sound, oh, fuck me. Anyway, you know, bring the guys up from Ontario, start making, you know, making moves, whether it's trades, whether it's just shuffling the deck. Seriously. You know, nobody knows about, you know, card playing more than the Kings, man. They played how many games in Vegas over the years? Shuffle that deck, brother. Shake things up. It's not difficult. It really isn't. And again, this is, I'm not getting paid. I don't know, you know, the fine nuances and stuff. This is a fan's opinion, and that's all this is. And if I don't have it over here, I don't think I might. Oh, I do. There you go. Subjective. All this is, it's my opinion. The way they're going about it is wrong. And Rob Blake needs to realize he's going about this the wrong way. So, there you go. That's going to sound horrible on the audio transfer.
You said shuffle the deck, so that's what I'm doing.
We get it.
Shuffle the deck, so I had
to. You are ruining my audio transfer and costing me money. If it is your show,
I'm sorry.
That's right. You go sit time out for a minute. You go sit time out for a minute.
Oh,
sit time out for a minute.
Oh, wow.
Okay, that's better.
You actually did put him in time out.
Put you in time out in your own show. That's how much I give a fuck right now. Okay.
I really wish, that you could send NHL players down to their AHL teams without having to go through the whole clearing process,
right,
where other teams could snatch them, because I think a month or two on the Reign would do Kopi, Brownie, Doughty some serious good.
Right. That is a huge problem with professional sports as a whole. Once the guys go up to the big time, like, their contracts are so inflated that sending them to the minors is seen as a cost prohibitive measure more than a gameplay improvement measure, as it should be.
Yeah.
There and you it's go. Bullshit.
There you go. So that's what's going to happen in hockey, apparently, from the two guys that I trust the most when it comes to NHL rants.
Okay. So now you've been on timeout. Are you going to be a good little boy now?
Yeah, I guess so.
Okay. I will close your bar and drink you dry if I have to.
Damn.
Damn it.
I love you too, bro.
Savage.
Thank you, D-Ross.
Savage.
What have the fans been saying during your little rant there?
Well,
I've
been avoiding doing the fans because Michael Gonzalez pissed me the hell off with his comment, but I'll go ahead and throw it
what
up there.
What did he do? Oh, are you kidding me?
Get out of my bar.
No. No, 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 no. Trout in stripes. I will never watch baseball again if that happens.
Woo, there you go. No.
This from the guy that wasn't even an Angels fan until post 2002.
Great. I get called out twice by both my brothers. Wonderful. No, I mean, Trout and the
Sid Angels, was jumping off the top ropes, breaking his leg before Mikey was an Angels fan, okay?
I knew you forgot something today.
Everything goes back to wrestling. Just remember that.
And on all that right. note, bartender sent me up again. That,
yep. There we go. Okay.
Michael all also right, has guys. A question for since we are going back to football, I would think at this point now. Since
yes, we are. But what does he want this time?
Michael says, who does the Renegade think is the greatest quarterback ever?
We're going back to the greatest of all time speech. That was like 2 weeks ago. Go ahead, Renegade.
Honestly, Michael, I have to be completely honest here. I don't really follow football. I don't. I really have never been huge into pro sports. I was a baseball fan when I was a kid. As I got older, I got out of it because it just became too boring. Football, I have never really been into. I do occasionally watch the Super Bowl if I don't have to work. I am probably the worst person to ask about that. If I did have to pick a name out of the past, probably going to go Joe Montana.
Good answer. Good answer.
Good answer. Good answer. I like that. I mean, he dominated in San Francisco.
He did.
You know, that,
you know that, the little bit of time that I did follow football, Montana was king. So if I have to pick a name, that's going to be the one I'm going to go with. Don't shoot me if that's not who you think. Like I said, baseball, football, basketball, I could really care less. Hockey is where you're going to get me to really talk.
There you go. And actually, Joe Montana is in the news. He helped thwart a possible kidnapping attempt of his grandchild at his house. Some crazy person, from what I saw on the news, decided to break into their home and take away their nine-month-old grandbaby. And
damn.
So he and his wife, of course, stopped it, called the police. That person's gonna has a trial this morning, I believe, from what I heard. But I mean, that's just crazy. I mean, some people are just so up there. I'm gonna go and kidnap Joe Montana's baby, or I didn't know it was Joe Montana's grandbaby. I was under the influence of drugs. Montana was underrated when he was in Kansas City, and of course he led them to an AFC championship game that he did.
I would have to give an honorable mention to Dan Marino. After all, he was in Ace Ventura.
That's right. So D. Ross with an interesting reply to what I was saying about the minors. To me, if a player is getting sent down to the minors, it's one of two things. If they had bad morale with the team or to help with the minor league team. You know, I honestly feel that sending – come on. What the fuck? There we go. Hi. Okay. Sending a guy down to the minors should also be part of a conditioning thing. Like, if you're not pulling your snuff in the majors, take your happy ass to the minors.
Exactly. You know, and especially if you're coming back off like an injury, you know, go down there in the minors for a game or two, get some of the rust off before you come back up to the big leagues.
Baseball does do that. So that's a good thing with baseball. So let's see.
The only thing I don't agree with is the bad morale part. I mean, right. Are we talking like attitude or are we talking performance? I mean, if you've got a bad
either
attitude
or.
With your team.
Either or, if you're not gelling with your team and you're walking around like you're king shit, sometimes you need to get your ego checked.
Right.
And likewise with performance. Like some of these guys are getting paid. How much is Kopi's contract?
Ridiculous.
And if you're not performing to a level that's worth those millions of dollars, then maybe you need to go down to the minors until you can get your performance up.
Well, but what I was saying earlier, Jay, was the problem with professional sports, especially like the GMs and the players, is that, you know, the players are getting paid millions of dollars. You know, the corporation, the company, whatever, the franchise feels that they can't have a $1 million investment playing in front of 20 people. Like that's I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm saying that's their point of view.
I get it. I get the logic.
It's cost prohibitive is what I'm saying. So
I get the logic, but it goes back to humbling the player.
I agreed.
You know, it's just like, you know, an ex-WWE wrestler that goes back to the indie circuit and goes from wrestling at WrestleMania in front of 70,000 people to a Jewish community center with 100.
And I've always said about the GMs and stuff, I am sick and tired of these GMs putting their head on the chopping block and getting their heads chopped off just because their team can't produce. It is not the GM's fault. It is not the coach's fault if a player cannot produce. If I can't throw a quarter, if I can't throw a touchdown, if I can't hit a home run, if I can't hit the game, if I can't hit a slap shot from 40 feet out, that's my problem. That is not the coach's problem. That's the player's problem.
Okay, there's a few ways to look at that, and I'll be brief because we gotta get on with the NFL side of the conversation. But the thing with removing a coach or an office staff as opposed to removing a player is sometimes a coach or a GM or whatever is removed from his position to send a message like, okay, you guys can't perform for who we feel you can't perform for, well, we're going to take that advantage away from you and you're going to play for this guy now. And if you don't play for this guy well, then you guys are going to get on the chopping block yourselves. I know it sounds fucking high school stupid shit, but that's how the mindset is. I'm not saying it's right or it's proper. It's just the way that it is. Nathan with a wonderful comment, and I love you for it. Nathan, thank you. He says, I enjoy listening to you three speak. That is why we watch Jeff, Statboy, and Jaden. Well, thank you, sir.
Thank you, Nathan. Thank you. Well said.
Three Brothers Studio up into his house. As a matter of fact,
let me just play right, guys.
Now. Let me, I don't have it. Go ahead, Mikey. You're good. Go ahead.
All right. So we're going to go into the meat and potatoes of the bar. We're going to start talking what we're supposed to be talking about. Week three in football. Breaking news, of course, out of Tennessee that the Titans have suspended their team activities until this coming weekend due to 8 people on their team, 3 players, 5 personnel testing positive for COVID. The Vikings are okay. There are still no positive tests for the Vikings, but they're shutting down as a precautionary thing.
Right.
This could be a possible... this could possibly affect the week 4 matchup for both teams. We don't know yet. So COVID's still around. And of course, 2 weeks ago, I talked about the coaches being fined for not wearing masks. All the coaches that did get fined, they want to appeal their fines. So I don't see what their defense is on this one. I mean, if you're not wearing a mask, you're wearing a mask, you're going to get punished for it. End of story. $100,000. That shouldn't be much. But, and I did see a lot more mask use over the games this weekend, so there's that. I still haven't really seen any of the players wearing masks, but that's luckily that none of the players have been fined. It's all the coaches and all the teams. So they should postpone the game if they can't do anything until Saturday. Yes, that is a possibility. But until the league says otherwise, we don't know what's going on. Until then, keep moving forward as if the game was going to be played. We're going to hope that everything is okay.
Disney, I see what you did there.
Yeah, I did that. So we're going to see what happens. If the game has to get postponed, it gets postponed. You play again another day. You find another location. They will find a way to make this work. Also,
finds a way.
Yeah, life finds a way. Also, this past week, football lost one of the greats, Gale Sanders from Chicago.
Gale Sayers.
He was Sayers, excuse me, Gale Sayers, I apologize, who played for Chicago. He got drafted in 1965 in the first round of number 4th pick overall. And in his rookie year, he scored 22 touchdowns in one season, which was the record at the time. And during an interview back then, he's like, all you have to do is give me 18 inches of daylight. That's all I need. And in football, 18 inches is too much because any linebacker, like I say, you give them an inch and they will run right through it. Of course, during his years in Chicago, he met up and became friends with fellow player Brian Piccolo, which became the first interracial roommate situation in the NFL, because back in the 60s, of course, players were still doing, you know, segregated players over here, players over there. These two said, we're not going to do that. And they became lifelong friends, which, of course, brings up the movie Brian's Song. And, of course, Mr. Sayers was portrayed by Billy Dee Williams. Sadly, though, I never got a chance. I did read the book. There was a book or a novel or a play version of Brian's Song. And I did read that in high school, and it did, honestly, it did bring me to tears because it's a very sad story. You know, sadly, Brian Piccolo, he lost his battle with cancer and he passed away. And Brian's Song was, of course, remade in 2001 with Mekhi Phifer as Mr. Gale Sanders.
Sears.
Sayers. I keep saying Sanders. I'm sorry. I apologize. I'm
it's not the Colonel, man. You're I'm not eating fried Deion, chicken. He's a football player.
I'm thinking it's that
was Deion Sanders. Shame on you.
And of course, again, in 1965, he set the rookie record for most touchdowns in one season and the most touchdowns in one game. But sadly, the Bears did not get to the playoffs at all during his tenure in Chicago. He did briefly play in 1970 and 1971, but by then he was done. So there you go, guys. If you want to take over and talk about Brian's Song or anything you want to say about this gentleman, go right ahead. The bar is yours.
Is it bad that when I hear Billy Dee's name, the first thing I think of is Eddie Murphy?
Billy Dee.
Jay's got it. Very good. Thank you. Yeah,
I thought you were going to say Star Wars.
Yeah, that's always what I go back to with Billy Dee is Lando Calrissian.
Well, of course.
You know, I mean, Stat Boy, I appreciate you reading all that stuff off. What Jeff may not know is that I passed a lot of that information on to him when I first read the report. Yeah. It's like, hey, you might want to cover this in the sports bar next week. Right. Especially because of the connection to Brian's Song.
Right, yeah.
I remember seeing Brian's Song in school. I want to say it was high school. I don't think it was college. I want to say I saw Brian's Song in high school. And just the movie sticks out to me, you know, clearly. That was the only time I've seen it. I would love to find a copy of it and revisit that movie. But it was a really solid movie. The acting was good. Billy Dee Williams was, of course, amazing, as he usually is.
As he do.
But yeah, so when I saw that information, I shot it over to Stat Boy for his consideration in this broadcast today.
Yeah, of course. Jeff, what do you got?
Agreed, D-Ross. We do need more heartwarming stories like Brian's Song. There are quite a few stories out there, sports movies, that are heartwarming stories.
Rudy?
League of Their Own. Yeah. Rudy.
Yeah.
The Mighty Ducks, even.
Yeah. Miracle is damn good, and it's based on true stories.
I still haven't gotten all the way through that.
Man, you've watched that, brother.
A couple times, and I get about 20 to 30 minutes in, and then something always comes up, and I have to turn it off.
We found a way to barricade you into a room for 2 hours.
Field of Dreams.
Field of Dreams.
Another heartwarming sports story.
Yeah. Yeah. There are so many great.
I was so upset.
What's that?
I was a little bit upset that the Field of Dreams game got canceled. They were supposed to play at the Field of Dreams.
It's coronavirus, dude. Everything's gotten canceled.
They could have played without fans.
No. Not that game. Not that game, brother. No way.
It's weird enough watching wrestling pay-per-views, watching the Stanley Cup, and there being no fans, no crowd.
Yeah. Oh.
Even if they try to pop in, you know, audio sound of fans cheering or booing, It's just not the same. The Thunderdome is a nice attempt,
right?
But it just doesn't give you that same feeling. You know, could you imagine that Raw we were at, where The Rock came out to be announced as the guest host? Could you imagine a segment like that happening today with
no
real crowd?
And I have it on good authority. Right. Yep. I have it on good authority that is the very reason why CM Punk is not back yet.
I believe it.
So
I believe it.
Going back to the NHL real quick, because you mentioned the fans at the hockey game. I don't know if you guys watched the hockey game last night, and I'm deliberately not trying to dig on Gary Bettman because everybody else shits on Gary, and rightfully so. He looks like shit. He has aged like 20 years in the 8 years since we won the Stanley Cup. Like, man, he looked like he's been put. And I get it. He's the commissioner of a major sports entity during the worst time in history. But holy hell, Gary needs Just for Men and a haircut like now. Like, wow. That little hobbit needs some freaking cosmetic love.
I didn't see any of it because work usually keeps me busy until 7 o'clock at night. And then by the time I get home, it's 7:20-ish. By the time I take my shower when I get home, I sit down to eat for dinner. And at that point, the cup had been won.
Right.
So, you know.
Granted, I hadn't seen Gary Bettman since the pandemic went down when they were doing the announcements or whatever. But, man, he – and, again, I liken it to a presidency. We all, as, you know, teenagers going into adulthood, saw how much President Clinton aged during his 2 terms. Like, he looked like he had been in office for 3 decades. He looked like a hot mess.
Obama, too.
Same with Obama. Obama got gray hair.
Obama was the same way.
And you know what? To a certain extent, also. Trump, whatever.
We're not talking about him.
No. But – Gary, Gary, he is the commissioner in a time of craze and chaos. So he looks like he's lived a couple lifetimes, man. And again, I'll be forever on the same side as the rest of the fans that Gary Bettman is one of the worst commissioners in the history of sports. But I feel for him right now, man. He looks like he's been put through hell. So.
And also, before we go into week 3, I forgot to mention tomorrow, NBA Finals start, Lakers and Heat. If the Lakers go all the way, which they should have done. Oh, God. Really?
No.
Do I pass the bar over to you?
I'm actually rooting for the Lakers because I'm rooting for the Lakers because their coach is a first-time coach, and we've had that more than once in our history. And number two, okay, hey, let me just get this banner ready as I do this because it's going to be it's going to be ugly here in a second. I honestly feel that I can be okay with cheering for the Lakers now because the Ball Hog is no longer on the franchise. Like, it's actually a team sport again. There's actually more than one player doing their part. To make a championship happen. So if that makes me a bad person for speaking ill of he who is gone now, then so be it. There it is. I don't give a shit. Whatever. I am rooting for the Lakers because I am an LA boy, and I just, as much as I dislike LeBron James's style of play and conduct of character half the time, I want a world championship here again. The Kings suck right now. The Dodgers, God willing, won't freaking choke this year. You know, the Galaxy, I don't watch soccer, so I don't give a shit. The Angels aren't going to give me a world title because they have Mike Trout and, yeah. So, Dodgers are my only hope, and if they choke like they choked last 3 years, granted, Houston fucked them.
You can't say that they choke because of the cheating scandal. They did not choke because of that.
Okay. They have – okay. All right. Okay. Here we go. Soapbox. How many division titles last 2 years? How many division titles have the Dodgers have won? How many?
I don't know, but this is too entertaining to look it up. Go ahead. Take over.
I'm looking up.
Fine, look it up. Like I said, but you can't.
I can't spell daughters when I'm drunk. It's not fair.
D O Y E R S. Yes, go yours.
No, my chain guts. Let's see here. Okay.
You Doyer redirects to daughters.
Spanish. I can't see for that. Let's see here. Where's my damn Steve?
God, I'm burning up out here. I'm burning up back here, man. I swear to God.
Okay, you're cut off, stat boy. No more booze for you.
That's right.
I haven't had a drop. I swear. I can go to the fridge and get one.
You're heating up.
The way I.
The booze.
It's the booze.
You don't have liquid refreshment like I do.
That's right. Okay. Let's see.
Sure, I do.
All right.
That's awesome.
Okay. All right. Hang on. They have been division champions every year since 2013. Okay?
Okay.
Two of those have been World Series where they've been cheated.
Yes. So it's, they're not choking. So,
3, 4, 5, 6, 7. This is the eighth. This is the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. This is the eighth division championship in a row this year, 2020. The previous 7 years, yes. Only two of those have been cheating out of championships. So five of those, they've choked. They've choked so bad, they're adopting the Sharks logo half the time. Okay?
I was gonna liken it more so to the Kings of the Pacific Division champions who haven't won a cup since 07.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Welcome to Staff Boys Roast.
He is roasted over there. Look at him.
Yeah, he's off a
corner. Standing himself with his baseball hat.
That's it.
I'll bet you it's not even an Angels hat.
Nope.
Okay.
We're in the middle of a heat wave out here in California, okay? It's hot.
Well, yeah, there's a heat wave because the Heat are going to beat the Lakers in all likelihood because Lakers can't fall through for me either. So, anyway.
Ooh.
Point is, relying on the Dodgers to bring a world title, which, by the way, it's only contested in two parts of one continent. Is it really a world title? No.
No.
Relying on the Dodgers to come through. Relying on the Dodgers to come through is tenuous, a shaky ground. Fuck. Don't use big words, Jeff. You're drunk. Shaky ground.
What have you had? I want to know.
I don't even know at this point. It just kind of happened. The Lakers.
Wow.
The Lakers, with their talent pool, they have on that roster right now, and a decent coach on the benches with them, have the chance to win the finals. So I am rooting for the Lakers as a Los Angeles person. Now, if Miami wins, am I going to be upset? No. Why? At the end of the day, I don't give a fuck about basketball. I don't. I don't care. I can care if the sport went away for good. I really don't care because that way we get those ridiculous banners off my wall at Staples Center and go block them in a warehouse somewhere next to Magic Johnson's, you know, glory days, because whatever with him too. So I don't care. It doesn't bother me. But as long as they're here, as long as they have a good talent pool, as long as they have a good coach, I will root for them. But if they don't win, don't give a shit.
Well, the thing is with playing the Heat, of course, LeBron won two titles with Miami. He won his third title with Cleveland. Now he's trying to bring LA the title, which is what I said 2 years ago when he signed with the Lakers. They thought they have to bring the title to LA to keep the LA fans happy. So he's coming through on his little problem here that I stated back in 2018 when he signed or whatever. Jeff, the COVID killer Meacham. Well, apparently you're the COVID killer now. I don't know how you're going to kill COVID.
I couldn't get infected probably at this point. Sal says Lakers in 6. Roberto says Lakers in 3. Lakers in 3. They can't do
Lakers in 3? It's a best of 7 series, Roberto. You have to win 4.
Well, it's probably going to be 3 and Miami go, ah, fuck it. We quit. We resign.
I would love to see that happen.
That's the first time ever.
Okay.
That's your first one. He can't make up his mind where the hell he wants to play.
Well, he did when he picked LA. Anyway,
we have gone.
There goes the camera again.
We lost Maggie.
Oh, no.
Oh my God, they killed Mikey.
PayPal.me/Jeff Meacham. We'll get Mikey a tripod.
That's right.
Yeah.
Dude, go to the 99-cent store. You can get one for like a couple of bucks.
Well, when I get excited, the camera goes crazy. All right, let's get to the meat and potatoes, which we haven't done for the past 25 minutes, and get through the week three results and all that good stuff. See, Jeff heel turn. Jeff is a heel.
This is why the Renegade doesn't come on to the sports bar, because it turns into a clusterfuck.
That's right. JJ's a sober one, and he's freaking causing the most trouble. See? Told you. Good.
They're both heels. I'm just the neutral guy. I've not gone heel yet. Anyway, week three results. Let's get started.
I've seen you, Jeff.
Yes, you have. Many times. It's something I don't want. Week three started off with Miami and Jacksonville, with Miami winning 31-13. The Dolphins finally decided to play this season, score some points. The last time they won a game by more than 10 was week 13 of the 2017 season. It took them 4 years to start scoring points. Ryan Fitzpatrick went 18 of 20 for 160 yards with 2 touchdowns. Gardner Minshew, 30 of 42 for 275 yards. Good job for Miami. Moving on to the next game, Buffalo and the L.A. Rams. Buffalo holds on and comes back to stop a 25-point deficit for the Rams. It was a great game. They were coming back and scoring points like crazy. Josh Allen went 24 of 33 for 311 yards, 4 big touchdowns. Jared Goff, 23 of 32, 321 yards. Josh Allen is now the first quarterback in Bills history to throw 300 yards in 3 straight games. Of course, the Rams ended up getting the infamous pass interference call, which is becoming to come into the wrong time when a team needs it. I saw the play, and I, of course, me being impartial, I don't see pass interference. I didn't think that whatever receiver on the Bills had no chance to get that ball. But, of course, these referees are probably bought off. They want to throw their flag. They call pass interference, giving the Bills another chance to come back and stop the momentum of the Rams, which they did. And, Yes, Jeff.
Pass interference is defined as any physical contact that directly impedes the receiver from getting the ball, as far as I know. What he did was indeed pass interference. I had to have my dad correct me on that one myself. So,
well, it's just one of those.
I am all about giving the Rams a break on PI, because they've been fucked on that forever, but it was PI.
It's just one of those calls that, you know, if the receiver has no chance of it, or he totally botches it, he wants to go and cry to the referee, hey, throw the flag. And if he doesn't throw the flag, you'll actually see a football player throw a fit at a football game.
Right.
So it's just one of those plays that it has to be – I think it has to be more than just physical contact. I mean, if you're blocking the receiver's arms, I can see that. If you knock them to the ground, if you tackle them to the ground before they even have a chance to, that's a clean hit by my standards. There's no way he would have caught that ball. He should take his tackle and hit the ground, because he's got his protection on it anyway. But unfortunately, you know, the Rams and all them, I think they've done Jumbo Jacks 3 weeks in a row. So that's a good thing, at least. At least we get Jumbo Jacks on Tuesdays.
Well,
Mondays.
Let's just keep the people of LA even fatter on burgers, but still suck at football. There you go. That works.
Yeah. Oh, you lost the game? There's a Jack in the Box commercial right there now. Atlanta and Chicago. Chicago wins 30-26. Atlanta has had their first 0-3 start since 2007. The Bears. Nick Foles went 16 of 29 for 188 yards. And then Matt Ryan came into the game for 19 of 38 at 238 yards. Mitchell Trubisky, who went 13 of 22, got pulled in the third quarter. Foles comes in to make the save. And the Bears come back to rally with the spirit of Mr. Sayers coming in to give him that push. The Bears win. The Bears, exactly. The New England Patriots took on the Las Vegas Raiders and beat them 36-20. And I know I've been picking on Cam Newton lately. This time he actually used his team and didn't do it himself, throwing 17 of 28 for 162 yards. Derek Carr, 24 of 32. for 261 yards. Unfortunately, though, he, when given an interview, he is quoted as saying, "This is subpar performance." What's wrong, Cam? Just because you don't rush in for a touchdown, you're not a good quarterback? I mean, come on. You did what you were supposed to do. You utilized your team. You got the win. Falcons need to fire their coaching staff. Okay, see, we're going back to the other stuff. Michael, give me a little bit more stuff on this. If it's why?
Because they fucked up 2 weeks in a row, dude.
So that's not the coaching staff's fault. It's the quarterback's fault. It's the players. It's not the coach.
Okay, the Falcons last week, that's poor everybody. They had that game in hand. Dallas was packing up, ready to walk, man. And freaking,
I haven't even gotten to Dallas yet.
They're freaking, I'm just saying, Atlanta's kickoff team stepped on their own dick, like for real. So, I mean, that's poor coaching. That's poor education on the players' part. This week was just a train wreck too. So I agree with Michael. Atlanta needs to shake something up for sure. Anyway, continue.
Okay. San Francisco 49ers took on the New York Giants and ended up beating them 36-9. The 49ers did not punt the football away at all for the first time since week 16 of 1993. There's something. If you don't punt the ball away, you just score touchdowns. Nick Mullins, 25 of 36 for 343 yards. Daniel Jones, 17 of 32 for 179. Here's an odd team that's actually winning, the Browns. That's a shocker. The Browns beat Washington 34-20. Cleveland has scored
more. What's the Washington team?
That's just them, the Washington team. That's it. That's what they're calling themselves.
Washington Generals.
You can't say Redskins.
Yes, you can.
Hey, guess what? Hang on a second. Wait, Mikey, hang on. It's my channel. They're the Redskins.
What are we doing? It offends people.
And they still
Cleveland scored more than 30 points in back-to-back games since 2010. Dwayne Haskins, 21 of 37, 224 yards. Baker Mayfield, 16 of 23, 156. The Vikings lost to the Titans 31-30. This was the game we talked about that ended up possibly hurting week four. Tennessee is starting 3-0 for the first time since 2008. And we're already talking about the playoffs for the Vikings. They've never made the playoffs when starting a season 0-3, but it's only been 3 weeks. Stop worrying about which team is going to make the playoffs until week 9 or 10. That is my big problem. I'm like, I don't need to hear about the playoffs this early in the season. Yankees just went up 3-0 in Cleveland, 2-0 right now. Yankees just hit a home run. There you go. Live on that for baseball. What we got there? Oh, okay, yes. Donate to help keep the channel going. Good job. So let's not worry about
the boy down the hall gets about the Falcons, man. Even the boy down the hall sees it. Jesus.
Thank you, nephew.
Gooby in with the chime in there, Jay. There you go.
Love it.
There it is. There you go. Love it. In an odd chance, the Eagles and the Bengals ended up tying. The game ended in a tie. First game this season, 23-all. Joe Burrow, 31 of 44, 312 yards. Carson Wentz, 29 of 47, 225 yards. And I've also heard that Carson Wentz and Kirk Cousins are tied for 6 interceptions so far this season. So that's not a very good stat to have. Ouch! Whoa, that's your First Amendment right there. Fly, Eagles, fly. Not this week. Mm-mm, nope.
Die, Eagles, die every
week.
I
don't even like the idea of a game ending in a tie. I think there should be a winner in every game that is played, because also it will screw up the standings and all that. So you play till you drop. Know.
If the Eagles and the Bengals both didn't suck so bad, one of them would have won.
Good point. Good point indeed. Colts and the Jets. The Jets are continuing their skid into insanity by losing 36-7, scoring the least amount of points this week. third overall. Luckily, no team has been completely shut out yet. But again, it's only three seasons. Sam Darnold, 17 of 29 for 168 yards. Phillip Rivers, 17 of 21, 217. In fact, overall, the Jets have scored 37 points in three games. That's what one team that is dominating should score in one. It's taken the Jets three games to score that many points. Don't be surprised if the Jets just – I don't even want to think of an 0-16 season for them, but it's the Jets. What can you say?
Don't be on the Jets. They don't know any better. They're a freaking peewee team in pro clothing, man. Be nice. The kids District are trying their best.
District 5?
Worse.
District 5. Panthers District took on the Chargers. There you go. Panthers took on the Chargers and beat them 21-16. First win for Carolina since week 9 of 2019. Carolina just can't win, but apparently you play the Chargers and, well, you get a win. Teddy Bridgewater, 22 of 28 for 235 yards. Justin Herbert, 35 of 49 for 330 yards. The last play of the game would have won it for the Chargers, but unfortunately Austin Eckler can't hold on to the ball. Ends up dropping it, fumbling it. Panthers recover, jump on the grenade, and win the game.
I wonder if the smog in LA is San Diego boys' heads.
I would say sorry, Chargers fans, but you guys decided to leave San Diego, come to LA, so.
Well, no, Mikey, I was making the joke. I was saying, I wonder if the smog in LA is messing with the San Diego boys' noses.
Maybe so. Who knows?
Go back to making that sea air back in your locker room. Wins freaking football games, you dorks.
Detroit took to take on Arizona, and they win 26-23. Both quarterbacks. Yes, the Lions won, and I actually picked the Lions this week, which I was surprised to do. I did not think I would pick the Lions, but they did. Matt Stafford went 22 of 31 for 270 yards. Kyler Murray, 23 of 35, also for 270 yards. It came down, of course, to the final field goal. Matt Prater kicks the game-winning goal, and the Lions win 26-23. Yay, our Lions. I think I'm going to pick them. I think I'm going to pick them.
I'm sure AA was happy about that.
I believe so, too. I would hope so. Tampa Bay 28, Denver 10. Tom Brady continues his aging streak at 25-38 for 297 yards. Jeff Driscoll 17-30 for 176, and then Brett Ripon had to come in and finish the game. He's still going. I don't know what's going to stop Tom Brady, but he's going to keep going until he's probably just going to snap away and fade off. I can't say anything more about Tampa Bay than I have said in the past few weeks, yes?
I forgot something earlier during the New England coverage. I completely forgot. I'm sorry. I meant to bring this up with New England. You're talking about New England, so give me a second here. Fuck okay, you, buddy, Belichick.
What do we bring? Ooh. Wow.
Yeah, I'm good now. Thank you.
You feel better?
Yeah. You've been doing and Dylan, I know you're watching at the ball, so sorry, but I'm not really that sorry.
Do you want the floor so you can rant on 5 minutes why you don't like Bill Belichick?
I'll need more than five, so no, thank you.
You ask what it's going to take to stop Tom Brady. I think it's going to take Thanos and an Infinity Gauntlet.
He already has an Infinity Gauntlet. He won six rings.
The thing is, Brady left the little comfy bubble of Belichick with Gronk, and they're still winning. So, and he's not deflating footballs or doing cheating shit to win. So, you know what? If Brady wins legit with Gronk there down Tampa, I will buy a Buccaneers hat. I swear to God I will. But as long as he's got that stink of Belichick, screw him too. So.
The thoughts of Jeff Mees are his own and not the thoughts of that boy's bar.
Well, it's my network, so it gives a shit.
Yeah, exactly. Seattle and Dallas. Say Seattle wins 38-31. Dak Prescott 37 of 50. Oh, thank you for the stat, Michael. Good job. All of Brady's touchdowns. Okay, see, less than 10 yards. That's like playing catch with your son in the backyard. What's the matter? He can't do any 30-yard bombs anymore? Is he slowing down?
That's the thing. Is he utilizing his running backs?
People are so convinced that Brady's this godlike creature. He's a human being too, man.
There it is. Dak Prescott, 37 of 57 for 472 yards, 3 touchdowns. Russell Wilson, best quarterback of week 3, 27 of 40, 315 yards, 5 touchdowns. 5 touchdowns, 5 time. He now leads the league. Apparently, Russell Wilson is the best quarterback in all of the NFL because he has 14 touchdowns under his gun. But that's going to set off another controversial talk saying that, oh, just because he has 14 touchdowns, he's the best. When I wrote something, what did I write down? Hold on. What did I write down? Where the heck did I put it? Dak Prescott has the most passing yards. So who's better? Prescott with his 1,000 plus yards or Wilson with touchdowns? Go ahead. Let me hear it.
What's Wilson's record?
The Seahawks are currently – hold on, I have that here. The Seahawks are 3-0.
What's Dallas's record? 1-2.
1-2.
Wilson's been a quarterback. End of story.
I see you have your hand.
Yes, so Uncle Jay.
It's Wilson because of.
I just, as a non really big football fan, I just have to ask the question.
Yeah.
Does it really matter how many yards you complete a pass for if you can't score the touchdown?
I would say no. Pass yardage.
And that goes back
to
Tom Brady. Who cares if his touchdown conversions were 10 yards? He threw the touchdowns.
Yeah. I'm not.
I would say that pass yardage is. I would say that pass yardage is an impressive stat. I mean, if you're throwing for all these yards. See,
that's the question. Does it make you the better quarterback? If I could throw a football 500 yards, okay, hypothetically speaking, I probably couldn't throw it 5 feet. But if I could throw a football 500 yards, who cares if the person doesn't receive it and score off it? It doesn't matter.
See?
Right.
Yeah.
If I throw a football 3 feet and the person catches it, and runs in for a touchdown every single time, that's more impressive. I've scored more points, converted
my
more
thing touchdowns. Is this, and I'm gonna tie back to wrestling one more time, and I'll let you continue with your recap, Mikey. Hogan and Flair said it best in their books, more so Flair. When Flair and Hogan finally got together and talked about, you know, their run with each other, you know, Hulk said, you know, that he was so impressed with Ric Flair, you know, the best worker is the one who draws the most money. Well, those are contradictory terms when you think about it. At their core, they're completely opposite terms. But it's more like the ends justify the means. Like, it doesn't matter if you throw, you know, like Jay said, 600 yards in a game. If you get one touchdown out of that, kind of useless. But if you throw 10 yards 6 times and each time is a touchdown and you win the game, boom shakalaka.
There you go. Again, one of those debates where
I'm free. Lord, I'm not trying to do that, but it is what it is.
And like I said, it's one of those debates where you have your favorites. They're your favorites, and you always think they're number one. Then these numbers come into play, and before you know it, everyone's attacking each other, and it's
and
inflated stats.
No, inflated footballs. Inflated footballs.
No, the stats are not inflated.
It was
because
deflated footballs.
Deflated. Sorry, you're right, Jay. Deflated.
No, the numbers don't lie. When they throw those numbers, they are counted and double counted in all that. Finally, the Monday night game, the Saints and the Packers. Packers win 37-30. Aaron Rodgers, 21 of 32 for 283. Drew Brees, 288 for 3 touchdowns. And Green Bay finally defeats New Orleans on the road for the first time since week 16 of 1995. And, of course, the league is already saying that, oh, yes, since Green Bay has been so dominant. We just said that, Michael. You're a little bit behind.
No, actually he put it up about a half hour ago. I just now saw it.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll see. If it's between Rodgers and Wilson, it's going to be who do you like better, because both teams are undefeated at 3-0. I don't really have their comparison stats. Russell has more touchdowns, as we've stated, you know. And I'm going to give it to Wilson right now, because the Packers as a team are being dominant as well. It's not just Rodgers. Rodgers is like a Tom Brady guy, you know. It's not the Buccaneers playing, it's Tom Brady playing. No, it's not Aaron Rodgers playing, it's the Packers. They're doing it as a team. Wilson is doing it as a quarterback. So that's why I'm saying Wilson is the number one quarterback right now. If I had a quarterback list, I would put Wilson at the top because of all the touchdowns. I would look at everything else. And honestly, I am getting sick of Aaron Rodgers being crammed down my throat all the time. Because let's face it, Green Bay, spoiler alert, they're going to be the number one team, hands down.
So are you saying, Mr. Caldwell, that if you had a Stat Boys power rankings for quarterbacks, Russell would be your top guy?
Yes.
Very good.
And that's only on quarterbacks.
Right. Right.
Nice graphic, by the way. All right.
Thank you.
And good segue into that. So let's get into the power rankings. Okay, of all 32 teams.
I'm not sure how to keep your face on here because the graphics I have are poopy, so stand by here. Let me see if I can do this here.
It's okay. I'm not worried about graphics covering my face or anything like that. Okay. I really don't care.
Okay.
If whatever works, works. Okay. All right. At the bottom. Ooh, that looks good.
Hang on.
Okay.
We'll see if it works.
All right. Okay, fine. If it works, it works. If it doesn't, I really don't care. Why are you pointing at us like that? Oh, Jeff has to be in the middle. Okay.
He went that way, I think.
For once, I got to be Mikey in the middle.
Jesus Christ. It's off the rails. I love my brothers very much.
It's off the rails on every show we do.
Today's episode at the bottom of Sports Bar is sponsored by the word clusterfuck.
That's right. Today's show is sponsored by Jack Daniels.
I should have a bottle of Jack here. I'm ready at all times. All right.
Always.
Bottom of the barrel. The worst team so far. New York Jets. 0-3, 37 points. The Jets are horrible. 31. The Giants, only 1 point higher than the Jets. They've only scored 38 points so far. Up next, number 30. No change for the Broncos. They stayed exactly where they needed to be.
I saw somebody posted on Facebook that the Denver Broncos stadium had South Park cutouts.
Yes, yes.
In the stands.
Oh my!
To simulate fans, God. And all the South Park characters had masks on.
The Broncos did that themselves. That's genius.
I'm not a football fan, but bravo to the Broncos for that. That was awesome.
Now, see, that is where the NFL does right by their city or their state and their city. Cartman comes to our arena at hockey and rags on the Kings' opponents, even when it's the Colorado Avalanche. Hello! Dumbass.
Amazing. 29.
I'm not taking that AEG money, baby. Anyway, moving right along.
There it is. 29. No change for the Houston Texans.
No change! Ba-da-da-da-da-da. No change at all!
Next up. The Vikings, they drop four points down in the standings or in the rankings, and they are only one of two teams that have allowed more than 100 points against their players in the 3 weeks we've played, followed by Atlanta. They are the second team. They've given up 108 points.
You suck, next Falcons. Up,
26, even though they tied. They still got to move up a couple spots, which was a bit of a surprise on that one.
Well, I mean, even a blind
squad. 25. Yeah. Bengals, they moved up one spot as well. And that's all the teams that have not won a game yet.
Jesus.
Yeah, I know. 24. Chargers down three spots. Next up, 23.
Wilson High School.
Wilson High School, yeah.
Nobody gets that but us three, and that's okay.
Yep. 22. Panthers. Up one spot. 21.
So was that the new Washington Redskins logo? Is that what that was?
That's the Washington football team's current NFL.com designated logo, yes.
Yeah, they can't even use their old logo, which is so dumb.
If somebody out there can find a way to take the Washington Generals logo from the Globetrotters game and convert it into football, I will use that shit every week. That's just
so stupid to me because, I'm sorry, the Braves and the Indians haven't changed their names.
Yet.
Matter of time. They've been wanting to. 21. There's the Lions up four spots. 20.
Tony Khan's a slipping.
Yep. Big drop for the Jaguars. Seven spots. Big, big drop on that one. 19.
They should have Chris Jericho be their quarterback. That's champion.
There you go. 19. Miami, a big jump. Up eight big spots.
Good for Miami, man.
If they get another couple wins, they might move into the top 10 very soon. Up next.
All we need now is Ray Finkel in the alumni game. We're good to go.
There you go.
Laces out.
Laces out, bitches.
Laces out. Dallas has not hit the bottom of the top 20.
Fucking Cowboys.
It's okay. They scored the points, too. And they're almost at 100 points. They will hit 100 points in week 4.
Oh, goody, goody, goody.
Unless they get shut out.
I don't think that'll happen.
Don't look at me like that.
Next
it's
up.
Always possible.
We will see. Up next, the Saints, 17.
Oh, when the Saints go sliding down. Oh, when the Saints go sliding down.
Well, yeah. I think they'll come back up in week 4.
That's what she said.
All right, now, yep. There it is. Their highest spot so far.
Another win.
Yes, they are. They are in the top half of the league, and it's surprising. Everybody – I almost said it. Everybody shits on the Browns.
Mm-hmm. I see what you did there. I'm telling you this right now. If the Browns win the Super Bowl, I'm going to shit myself, okay, for real. Like, I will. I may even do it on the air.
No, I don't want that, dude.
I didn't think it was going to be your show. I'm not giving you that rating. You kidding me? I'll stay for dads.
Wow, no response from Renegade on that. 15, you know, the Arizona card.
He ain't touching that shit, literally.
Dropping 7 points. We've gone to shit. That's what we've done. We've gone.
As someone who once dealt with us would say, it's gone butt fucking.
Yes, it has. Tampa Bay, 14, up one spot. Next, Indianapolis, up five spots at number 13. Number 12. Real quick. There we go.
There we go.
Dylan's team is almost in the top 10.
Who hiss?
Had they won their game, they would have been. What? Oh, had they won a previous game. San Francisco at number 11. And now we're in the top 10. Top 10. Here we go. There are the Rams.
That's it. With the right logo this week.
Even with a loss, they're still in the top 10. Number 9, the Ravens.
Nevermore.
And now the final 18. Nevermore. And now the teams that are all undefeated. All these teams are undefeated. Number 8.
No, because the winners lost the other day.
I'm sorry. I jumped the gun. There are 7 teams that are undefeated. I apologize. I skipped Las Vegas, even though I'll be there next week.
There is literally one person I care about that dwells near this team, and she doesn't even care about football. So,
the Henderson Hottie?
Yeah.
She doesn't care about football?
I don't think so.
That's a shocker. We need to ask her about that one.
Well, all right. Maybe.
To be fair, she never cared about hockey until a team came to her town.
And to be fair, they earned that team, man. Freaking the Raiders kind of like fell in their lap because Oakland was a bitch to them again.
Agreed. Agreed. I'm just saying she never cared really about any sports until she got a pro team.
Hey, when you live in a city that is primarily betting on sports and every other city and you get your own, you freaking latch onto that like a freaking a baby to a teat, man, for real.
Agreed.
So. Duh, Bears.
Duh, Bears.
Duh, Bears. 3-0. They did it for Sayers.
And they are, we now throw in the Greg Cherry and Big G portion of the show. Steelers.
The Steelers are number six.
Six, six. The number.
Wow. Number five. The Titans.
Remember the Titans.
Number four. Yep. KC.
Chiefs.
Number three, the Bills.
Buffalo's number three. What the hell is happening?
I have no idea. And
number two, only leaves two teams in a row.
Yep. Seahawks. And number one for the third week in the row, Green Bay. Green Bay and Seattle.
Yep.
Green Bay and Seattle. Both teams have scored 100 points. Seattle's at 111. Green Bay is at 122. So if those teams were to play right now, someone would be number one, hands down, without a doubt. But
I have a couple surprises for you, Mikey, before we get to the next portion of the show. Because I know you have
surprises.
I know you have your week four preview that you do, because you want to talk about week four, because it's coming up very, very soon on Thursday.
Yes.
So I've put together a little presentation.
Okay, let's see what you got. Oh, very good. There's a week four game that starts it off.
Who you picking? Who you picking, Stat Boy? Who you got? Who you got?
I can't pick the Jets, so I am picking the Broncos.
Well, you could pick the Jets, but then you'd be an idiot. So,
I mean, I'm definitely going with the Jets on that one.
There you go.
I'm going with the Broncos on that one.
On Sunday.
Look at all that. There you go.
Who you got?
Okay. Between the Chargers and the Bucks, I'm taking the Bucks on that one.
Very good.
With the battle of the powerful cats, Jaguars and Bengals, I actually have who do I have on this on my list? I have the Jaguars. Now, the Vikings and the Texans, that's still an iffy. We don't know what's going to happen yet, so we're going to continue as if they were playing. And the Vikings need a turnaround, so I'm going to pick them. And Steelers and
maybe
Titans.
Fuck you anyway.
Yeah. Steelers and Titans. I mean, the Steelers it's a battle between two top teams, but I'm going to go with the Steeler Nation on this one and keep Greg Cherry happy.
Well, good for you then. And Big G. You can't forget Big G talking about the Steelers.
And BG, I can't forget about him either.
Big G, not BG, Big G. BG is currently a WWE producer on SmackDown.
Ah, with Seattle and Miami, I'm going with Seattle.
As you should.
With Indianapolis and the Bears, I'm going with the Bears.
The Bears.
Saints and the Lions. I'm going with Detroit on this one. They came through for me in week three. I think they're going to come through in week four. I'm going to pick Detroit 2 weeks in a row.
Wow.
And, yeah, I know, right? I might turn my back on them
in
week five.
Someone took his temperature. He might have the COVID.
I've been to Vegas twice. I don't have the COVID. Dallas and Cleveland. Wow.
Careful. Careful.
Jeff, I think you should take this one, Jeff. Are you gonna keep your team, or what are you gonna do?
All right, here's the thing. I will never pick against the Cowboys, even against a red hot Cleveland team. So I will still pick the Cowboys, but a Cleveland win would not surprise me in the slightest.
Okay.
I feel that's a diplomatic way to say it.
Also remember, I play the
point spread, so I'm not going point spread by each game, but that's a whole different thing in itself.
The only spread I like is on my hamburger.
There you go. Ravens and Washington, I have where are they? I have Washington on that one, actually.
Okay. All right.
Arizona and Carolina, I've got Arizona on that one. Giants and Rams, if the Rams don't win this one and score a ton of points against the Giants, I mean, come on, that's a gimme game right there.
Thank you.
We're back and the Rams are back at SoFi, so that's going to be a fun game to watch. And the Bills and the Raiders, I'm going to go actually with the Raiders on this one. Patriots and Chiefs, I've got the Patriots on that one. Eagles and 49ers, can we just like erase that game altogether? Because
implode the stadium.
Implode the stadium, but I will pick Philadelphia. Yeah. And on my and what a birthday present for me to want to see a game that I'm really not going to be caring about, because right. It's probably going to be a gimme for the Packers. I mean, they have no competitor this week. A 3-0 team versus an 0-3 team. I mean, come on. Yeah. If you're not picking Green Bay and you're thinking that Atlanta's going to cover the +7 point spread, and if you've got a feeling on that one, then pick the Falcons. But otherwise, don't bet at all and just root for the Packers to win all the way. Great present for me on Monday night while I'm sitting at the Golden Nugget there eating my birthday dinner, not even caring about football.
Well, there's one more present for your birthday, Uncle Goofy.
Oh, what's that?
Greg Cherry has just added in the last 3 hours a brand new shirt to the Greg Cherry brand on Teespring. And it had nothing to do with any three really? Of us, but I had to promote it because it's a damn good shirt, and I feel it's worth
let's
our attention. It's so true.
Let's,
there you go. There it
let's
is.
Let's see it. Pro wrestling is real. Politics are a work. Wow.
Teespring.com/store/Greg Cherry brand. There you go, brother.
Actually, that's a pretty good segue because I was going to ask you, you know, tonight is probably the biggest sport event of the week, the debate.
That's not a sport, it's a circus.
Personal feelings aside, who do you think will win the debate tonight?
Oh, hands down, it's Biden all the way. Because here's the thing, I know that Jeff doesn't like politics on his channel and he likes to keep away, so I'll try and keep it brief.
That's my bad then, because I did.
Trump
know.
Has, yeah. I mean, he doesn't really speak on politics because I think on a recent show he almost took himself completely out of the shot. But Trump has no chance to win this first debate if there are other ones, because Biden is going to come at him with guns blazing on everything, on the coronavirus, on his tax returns, on the Supreme Court nomination. And Trump is going to do his best to just cover up and take it. If Trump doesn't walk off the stage, that's the only way he's going to win. So, it is very hard for me to put personal feelings aside, because you know I'm not a Trump supporter, but if they do the standard three debate thing, it'll probably go Biden, Trump, Biden. That'll be my prediction. So the big topic will be mostly how they've been handling COVID, and that's gonna be the knockout blow. I mean, because let's face it, he's only worn a mask twice. One being when he visited troops in a VA hospital, and one when he visited Justice Bader. He wore his mask, and of course the crowd was booing him. If you think the booing that John Cena gets was bad, Trump getting booed was just music to my ears, I think. So I will be watching the debates, and I even almost thought of a drinking game of some kind. It's like every time Trump says something stupid, take a shot. But if that happens, every person in America will get shit-faced by 6:30.
Mikey, on behalf of the Jeff Meacham Network and your value to our network, I would rather you not take a shot every time he says something stupid. I want to go to the hospital and pump the alcohol out of your bloodstream. Okay. Thank you.
Well, luckily I don't really have much hard liquor in the bar.
That won't stop you from getting stupid. And you know this.
I've got beer. So, but yeah, I am going to be, I'm going to predict that Biden will do better tonight.
Since it was brought up, let me say this. It's not about politics. It's not about what's going to be said, what isn't said. The fact of the matter is you have two people going on to a debate floor. One has a reputation for being too touchy-feely and too unaware of personal boundaries, and the other has been a petulant child for more than 4 years. So it's going to be a circus. It's flat out going to be a circus. I'm not going to watch. And I know that makes me seem like an uncaring voter, an uncaring American. That's not the case. I just don't want to, devote 2 hours of my precious time when, quite frankly, I got a podcasting network to run. I don't need to be watching these two dipshits going at it for 2 hours. I don't care. But I care because one way or the other, we're going to have some shit going down in the month and a half. All right.
Yeah.
But me watching the debate is not going to sway my vote. I know exactly what I'm doing the first Tuesday in November. No question about it. Like the only thing that could sway my vote in any other direction than where I'm going is if Joe Biden punted a baby off the stage into an old lady field. Like, seriously, that's the only thing at this point. Okay? There is no friggin' way I'm voting for the other guy. No way. So I don't need to watch
whatsoever. The debate.
I've got show prep to do. I've got two podcasts to produce tomorrow and a third to record. So I'm busy. Thank you very much.
Fair enough. Fair enough. I did not know that you didn't like bringing politics up, so I apologize for that.
No. I'm not. I am not faulting you. Honestly, at the end of the day, he is still news, as is Joe Biden. He who is the pretender to the throne right now is a WWE-involved personality. I'm not going to deny that because I can't deny Vince's momentary lapse of judgment, whatever. But, yeah, I don't mind talking about it, but I do mind the fact that people get an itch in their jock for me hating on him. And you know what? That's fine. I don't care if
fine.
You think I hate him, because you know what? You're right. I do. I would have no problem if somebody put a bullet through his temple. I wouldn't.
Whoa. That's a little bit too dark.
You give a fuck.
To each their own, you know. I'm not going to try to argue either way.
Well,
that's not what I brought it up for.
I understand that. The thing is, like, I don't necessarily disagree with one side of the political party or another. You can be Republican, you can be Democrat, you can be liberal, or you can be conservative, you can be libertarian, you can be independent. That I don't, whatever, you know. Aaron's voted one a different way than the primary two his entire adult life, and I'm proud of him for that. I don't support person.
That's fine.
He's not a good person. He's never been a good person, in my opinion. And I know that there are people out there that watch this show and appreciate my channel and appreciate my contributions to wrestling and to sports and whatever else I talk about. You know, we on Dads talk about Disney and movies and TV, and that's wonderful. And you guys don't come here for politics, and I understand that. But the fact of the matter is, he has done so many things that in any other time in history, he would have been ran out of that damn Oval Office on sheer human standard alone. The fact that he's still there just shows you how completely screwed up this time in history is.
Fair enough.
There you go.
All right. I'm done now. I'm sorry.
So let me, yeah. And on that note, we're going to go ahead and do our last call, and I'm going to thank both of you for coming into the sports part. It was a great surprise. I enjoyed it thoroughly. I hope all the fans did.
looking forward again to next week. Next week's show will be me celebrating my birthday in Las Vegas. So
I was going to say, gonna if you think this week was your roast, next week's his birthday.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Trust me. I'm anticipating this little getaway and all that. So we're actually going to try to do like a, I guess you could call it a remote broadcast, I guess. We'll see how good the Wi-Fi is out in Las Vegas. We did try to talk about possibly filming in a sports book, but that was shot down. So I'll probably be in my hotel room at the Golden Nugget in between gambling stints or whatever. So I will come back and report all the news on week four and any other news that pops up during the week. So there's that. As far as actually on my birthday, depending on where I am on the 15, I might pop into the channel and just say, hey, guys, I'm okay. Everything's good. Nothing to worry about there. And it's just going to be a fun little kickback for a couple days and then back at work again. So I definitely want to see you all come into the sports bar and, you know, leave your comments and your debates and whatnot as to what's happening in the world of sports, and all that's a good thing. And again, don't be shy, guys. Come on in. We'll put you on camera. You can debate us. You can throw out your feelings on any sports topic we talk about, and it just makes the show become unpredictable and fun.
And of course, I can either confirm or deny the fact that I may have a Dean Martin mask ready to properly roast you from Vegas next week.
Wow.
Oh boy. My hotel room is going to be
I'm going to go ahead and say thank you for allowing me to come into the sports bar, Stat Boy.
Of course.
It was an honor and a privilege. Whenever I give me another Tuesday off, I will try to come and visit you again.
Thanks for wearing the shirt.
Thanks for quiet. You know,
as soon as my brother had his shirt go live, I grabbed it. Like, legit.
And I will do the same.
Well, it's already live, so go get it.
Well, at least one brother got a shirt bought. I see how it is.
Hello. Did you not see what shirt? I am wearing a Trivia Challenge
That's
shirt.
That's Greg's shirt.
Okay?
That's Greg's shirt.
That's not a Meacham shirt.
It's in the wash.
Although Mikey did buy the Meacham Mania shirt, so he did at least buy a shirt, Jay.
There we go.
And on that note.
But thank you for letting me come in. Yeah, happy early birthday.
Thank you.
Just remember, Mikey, you're going to be driving past a lot of desert. And there's a lot of problems buried in that desert.
Yep.
So do not end up another statistic.
I should watch Casino again. I love
you
that
see,
movie.
You see, he's been through the desert on a horse with no horse name. With no it name. Felt good to be out of the rain.
All right. For the West Coast Professor, for the Renegade of Wrestling, I am the Stat Boy. Thank you all
Renegade
for
of everything. Not the Wrestling. The Renegade of everything.
Oh, okay. He's just the Renegade.
Yeah, the Renegade of Wrestling is a dead gimmick. I am just the Renegade.
Damn. Got told.
Okay, there you go. For the Renegade and the West Coast Professor, I am the Stat Boy. Thank you all for coming in. For now, the bar is closed. Stat Boy, out.